I didn't give you any sort of, we didn't give each other hints at all this week, did we?
Yes, I gave you one.
What was yours?
Poorly handled national disaster.
Oh, yes, that is right. That is right. That'll be fun. We're on episode 8 now.
8 whole episodes.
8 episodes.
Like an octopus.
Wow. Oh, okay. So, yeah, we're on episode 8 out of 10. So you guys better soak it up.
We're almost to the end.
We're almost on a break. But we might do something a little special for you guys for Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, I know you guys would like that. We would like that.
Yeah, that would be pretty cool. So maybe just keep your eye on us while we're on break and you'll get to see something cool maybe. Or something.
Yeah, you know, just like click on our Instagram page every once in a while.
Check it out. Keep an eye on the stories. You know. But yeah, anyway, welcome to episode 8. And thanks for being here.
Thank you.
I don't really know what to say at the beginning ever.
Yeah, me neither.
We're 8 episodes in and I still haven't figured that out.
We could tell them how our birthday went, which I think was very fun.
It was very fun. I got plastered.
We took a bath with like 4 different people.
Yep. We tried to sneak into the pool, but we got nervous. We could have honestly done it, I think, but...
Yeah, I think we could have.
We were nervous.
So I'm a nervous Nelly.
Yeah, we saw a cockroach the size of our hand.
We drank espresso martinis.
We had some wine. We had some charcuterie. I walked around downtown in heels, which was a mistake.
But very impressive.
And pretty slay.
And honestly, the whole night, we slayed.
We did.
Raina gave me the best birthday present, which was a Monster High doll. This is a Draculaura. From the Creepover party line. So I got Raina Frankie Stein, and we are here with our little dollies.
With our gals.
With our gals. They're being pals. They're so cute.
They're
and
super cute.
Also, Raina got me another amazing present. It is a first place award for a best pussy.
Because it's like true.
Because it's like true, duh.
Like everybody knows that it's a fact. So of course you would get an award. It just made sense. It
Nobel
had to be done.
Who?
Exactly. It had to be done. You like, yeah. You're saving the world.
Thank you.
Yeah, and Sabrina got me the Monster High doll also. And she got me a cute little freaking like coffin shaped letterboard stand thing that's like super cute, and I'm super excited to put it in my brand new studio room.
Ooh, ooh.
Woo, woo. So that's coming together. That'll be fun.
I think you should post a picture of your room on the Insta when you've got it together.
Oh, I will. I'm gonna be getting some photos taken when I'm done.
Hell yeah.
Mm-hmm. Boss bitch. I kind of want to just jump right in because mine's pretty crazy. I've never heard of this before until I found it and started doing research on it. And I found it on Reddit, as I do.
As Raina does.
As I do. And I was looking through a thread about some of the most insane cases people know about. And they were right to post this one because it's absolutely insane. So today I'm going to be covering the badass story of Mary Vincent. Have you heard of this?
I don't think I have.
Ooh, yay. Okay. So... this took place in 1978, and I'm going to throw out some trigger warnings right now because it does get kind of graphic and pretty intense later, and there is mentions of rape. So just be forewarned.
Thank you for the heads up.
You're welcome. Mary Vincent was one of 7 children and lived with her parents in Las Vegas. Her parents both worked at the casinos.
The casinos.
The casinos.
Ooh.
parents both worked at the casinos. Her father worked as a mechanic, and her mother was a blackjack dealer. Jeez, I don't know why I couldn't say that.
Can I say something about casinos real quick?
What?
So when I was young, my grandpa was like super addicted to gambling, and he would spend all his time at the casino. So my grandma was like, no, you've got to get a job. You have to stop spending all of our money.
Yeah.
So fair. My grandpa got a job driving the city bus from the city to the casino.
Oh, my God.
And then he would take us out to dinner, which meant he was going to leave us at the casino buffet while he went to go gamble.
But honestly, that sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah, right? So as my grandmother says, it's called a casino porque casino ganas.
That's funny. Yeah, well, her father was in the military, but I guess he worked in the casino after he was done being in the military.
Makes sense.
When, like, she had a pretty normal life in childhood. I couldn't really find anything that popped out. But she was, when she was 15, her parents were going through a messy divorce, so she decided to run away. Mm. And after a brief period of living on the streets and inside unlocked cars, in September, she decided to hitchhike to Berkeley, California in September of 1978. To go to her grandpa's house. After arriving in California and staying with her grandfather for a while, Mary became homesick and decided to hitchhike back to Las Vegas. But I want to throw out a disclaimer. I found a lot of different reports of why she went to California. I saw one that said she was going because she was moving with her boyfriend and they were living in his car, and he got arrested for raping a different teenage girl because she's only 15. So I don't know if that's what happened. There was another one that said she was going to California to be a dancer. There was another one that said that when she was hitchhiking with other people. So I don't really know how she got, like, if she went to California by herself or if she was with other people or what the main reason is of why she went. All I know is that when she was 15, she decided to run away and go to California.
Okay.
So the reports are kind of conflicting. I don't know what the true story is, so I just thought I'd throw them all in there. So,
And that's on being thorough.
I also, at this point, was like, what did her parents do when she ran away?
Right, were they like, oh, no.
Yeah, I couldn't find any information. And in one of the articles I found that covered it, said that she lived with her grandfather for a while, so I would assume that her grandfather was able to call her parents and be like, you know, she's with me, she's safe. But then, like, why wouldn't they get her a bus or a plane ticket or find a ride to get her back to Las Vegas? Like, why would they let her just hitchhike over there? And did they, like, report her missing? Like, was there ever a search for her? Like, what did her parents do?
How far is that? How far are those from each other?
Pretty far. Let me look it up.
Since we got the Google.
It's like a 9-hour drive.
Damn. Yeah, I absolutely would not want my child to hitchhike.
Yeah, nine hours.
Oh my God. But it was a different time. It was a different time.
Yeah, I couldn't find anything to say what her parents did, what their role in all of this was, because I don't understand why they just let their 15-year-old just kind of, like, run around, but
yeah.
I digress. At some point, she was hitchhiking, whether it was to California or back from California. And one of the points that she was hitchhiking, she started to, like, flag drivers. One article said that she was holding a sign, and that was when she was with the other people. All the rest of them I read just said that she was putting a thumb out and trying to hitchhike. So one driver slowed to a stop and offered her a ride, and she accepted. The man who picked her up ended up being the man to change her entire life.
Whoa.
So 50-year-old Lawrence Singleton is the man who picked her up. So when Mary got into the car, she told him she was heading south, and he made small talk about having a daughter around her age. And he was just like a simple 50-year-old man. Whatever. It was a different time. At one point, she sneezed, and he asked if she had a cold and proceeded to reach his hand out to feel her neck for a temperature.
Ew.
And she voiced, like, a little bit of discomfort about that. And he just tried to, like, you know, reassure her, like, I was just trying to be nice. Not trying to make you feel uncomfortable. Sorry. They kept driving. She ended up finally feeling, like, comfortable enough that she ended up taking a little nap. When she woke up, she saw a road sign and noticed that they were not, in fact, heading south and were going the wrong way. She told Lawrence that they were not going the right way. And he told her that it was just a simple mistake, like, because she tried to, like, threaten him. She was like, let me the fuck out. Like, what the fuck is going on? She was, like, freaking out. I saw one article that said that she found something in the car and, like, threatened to fucking stab him with it.
Good for her.
And he was like, listen, I'm, like, just a fucking simple man trying to help you out. Like, I just went the wrong way and, like, turned around and started going the right way. They eventually came to a stop at a rest area for a bathroom break, and, like, Mary was beginning to feel uneasy about the situation, so when she saw her shoe untied, she hopped out of the car to tie it in case she needed to make a run for it, so she was, like, getting ready for something.
Yeah.
And as she was doing so, Lawrence came up behind her and hit her over the head and dragged her to the back of his van.
Oh, my God. At the rest stop?
Yeah. So he then assaulted her and continued to tell her that if she made a sound, he would kill her. And he continued to do this multiple times throughout the night as she was tied up in the back of his van.
Gross.
The next morning, Mary begged for her release, and Lawrence replied, if you want to be set free, I'll set you free. He then proceeded to hack off both of her arms with an axe.
What?
So it was, like, below the elbow, but, like, right in the middle of the forearm. He just, like, chopped off both of her arms.
Oh my God.
So at this point, Mary is slipping in and out of consciousness, you know, because of excessive blood loss and trauma, and, like,
yeah,
that's a lot. He also fed her alcohol at one point that made her, like, kind of dizzy, so she was already, like, a little disoriented. So after Lawrence was done chopping off her arms, he tossed her over the edge of a 30-foot cliff in Del Porto Canyon.
What?
And so at this point, Mary is badly injured, essentially, like, amputated below, like, the elbows. She was nude and, like, had no idea of exactly, like, where she was. And she is still slipping in and out of consciousness. So Mary, like, a fucking absolute queen, lifts her arms up so that the muscles don't fall out. And so that she doesn't bleed as much. She lifts her arms up. And she begins to walk. And she walked for 3 miles.
Whoa.
And
she's also 15 years old?
Yeah. And oh, at one God. Point on her journey, she shoved her arms into mud to help stop the wounds from, like, getting worse and, like, bleeding and stuff, which is an old witch trick. And continued walking until she came across Interstate 5 and began to try and flag for help.
Badass. Yeah.
So she walked for 3 miles... nude in September. I mean, it was California, so it was probably still pretty warm. Yeah. But at night, probably, like, if she was out there at night, it probably started to get a little cooler. But she was out there nude, fucking no arms.
Wow.
Walking to save her own life.
Women are amazing.
They're so good. According to the Los Angeles Times, the first car that Mary saw turned around and sped away because they were scared at the sight of her.
I don't blame them.
So luckily a second car stopped and drove her to a nearby hospital, and I read somewhere that the second vehicle that got her to a hospital was actually a couple that was on their honeymoon.
Oof. That's a bad way to start your honeymoon.
Yeah, but I thought it was super sweet of them because, like, you know, your honeymoon is supposed to be, like, this very joyous thing, and that is not a very joyous situation to be stepping into, but they helped her anyway, which I think is awesome of them. Yeah, they're just good people. So she had intense surgery after arriving to the hospital and would need prosthetic hands for the rest of her life. She also used to be, like I said, a dancer, which was maybe why she was going to California in the first place. But she was apparently a really talented dancer, but they had to take some of the muscle and skin from her legs. So she unfortunately, like, no longer could dance after this.
That's so sad.
Or at least not the way that she used to.
Right.
So after surgery, she worked with police and gave an extremely detailed description and gave the police a lot to be able to find him. She, like, even forfeited sleeping because she was like, no, we need to get this motherfucker. Like, I will do whatever I need to do. I will stay up all night. I will go over and over again. We need to get him. So luckily the search didn't last long because of all the information that she ended up giving them. One of Lawrence's neighbors recognized him from the sketch. And I couldn't find the date of his arrest, but everything I found said it happened, like, very quickly.
Hmm.
So when he was first arrested and taken into custody, he denied the accusations and called Mary a $10 a night whore.
Oh, wow.
So not only was he like, no, I didn't do that, he also just added like fucking insult to injury, literally, and just, yeah. So she testified against him in court because she's a brave ass fucking bitch. And they obviously found him guilty on multiple counts of like kidnapping, attempted murder, rape, you know, that kind of like, there was multiple accounts. The judge proceeding over the court remarked, if I had the power, I would send him to prison for the rest of his natural life. They didn't give him life in prison. I don't know why. They only gave him 14 years.
That's not enough.
So
for cutting a child's arms off.
Yeah. And assaulting and kidnapping and then like,
throwing them over a cliff.
Yeah.
That's not enough.
Yeah. Larry or Lawrence also, he's also called Larry. And sometimes I wrote that down, but it didn't change all of them. So Lawrence also reportedly admitted to whispering, I'll finish this job if it takes me the rest of my life.
Oh, whoa.
And they only gave him fucking 14 years. So Mary obviously suffered tremendous amount of like struggle and mental health issues. And this was made much worse when Lawrence was released after only 8 years of his sentencing because he was released on good behavior.
That's so fucked up.
So Mary went into hiding because she was terrified that he was going to come back and do what he said and finish the job. So he ended up going back to Florida. And in 1990, he would be convicted of theft twice, serving a 60-day sentence. Both theft charges were for small, like inexpensive objects. But on February 19th, 1997, in Tampa, Florida, a fucking course, a local house painter had noticed something going on in a nearby residence, and he quickly called police and described to them that he saw a nude man covered in blood, and he was repeatedly stabbing a nude woman who lay motionless on the sofa.
Whoa.
He would claim to the 911 caller that, or the operator, that he could hear the bones being crunched after each stab.
That is fucking terrifying.
And that man was Lawrence, obviously. The victim this time was 31-year-old Roxanne Hayes. She was a mother of three and doing what she could to support her family. And by that, I mean that she was participating in sex work. She had agreed to meet with Larry, or sorry, she had agreed to meet with Lawrence for $20. And Lawrence would go on to claim that she tried to take more than the agreed upon amount from his wallet, and a struggle ensued. And while he was trying to get a knife from her, she wound up being stabbed multiple times.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. So they arrested him, and Mary Vincent flew from California to Florida when she learned of Singleton's or Lawrence's arrest to testify on Roxanne Hayes' behalf.
Good for her.
Yeah. So Lawrence was sentenced to death on April 14th, 1998. He spent 3 years in prison awaiting his execution, but he died from cancer at the age of 74 while still on death row. Mm. But Mary actually ended up becoming an artist.
Good for her.
She's like 60 years old now, but she for a long time worked, I don't know if she still does, but she works with chalk pastels to create powerful, upbeat women like female action figures. And she also draws family and individual portraits on commission.
I love that for her.
And she also like customizes her prosthetics. Like she likes to tinker with them. And she also like self-creates all of them. And she also has one that is a custom prosthetic for bowling. So that's pretty sick.
Mary knows what the fuck she's about.
She knows how to be a badass and she knows how to be a good time. I don't know what more you could ask of a woman.
She's no, literally.
She's the blueprint.
She is the blueprint. It's so fucked up and sad that had they listened to her and actually, you know, given him life, that those three children would still have a mother.
Yeah. They just, yeah. I literally don't understand what substitutes as good behavior when you did something that heinous to a young woman.
Right.
Like what is good enough behavior to get you out of serving a sentence for that?
No, literally.
Hey, can you stop being bad?
Leave the beans alone. Leave Bean and the beans alone. That was a super cool story.
It was insane. And I'm so glad I found it. Thanks, Reddit. Thanks, guys.
Reddit, you really be doing the Lord's work.
Yeah, you really helping me out with this. And the devil's work
sometimes, yeah, sometimes simultaneously.
Yep. But, you know, you give and you take, I guess.
Exactly.
You want to take a little break and smoke real quick?
Yeah. Have a little snack?
Let's have a little snack.
I'm into that.
Yeah. Okay, we'll be right back. What's your favorite stoner candy?
Ooh. You know, I'm not a huge, like, candy person.
Mm-hmm.
At least not, like, in the gummy, like, sugary kinds, like, chocolate mm-hmm. only.
Mm.
And so, probably Kit Kats.
Kit Kats are pretty dank.
Mm-hmm.
I go between, like, wanting fruity candy and wanting, like, chocolatey candy.
Yeah.
But if I do get chocolate, I used to love Lindt truffles, but they're kind of too sweet for me now. I can't eat them anymore.
Yeah, they are sickly sweet.
Yeah, I'll take, like, half of one, and I'll be like, I don't really want the rest of those.
Have you ever had, oh, God, what are they called? Paleta payasos?
I'd have to, like, see what they look like to know.
They're, like, a marshmallow on a stick dipped in chocolate with a little clown face.
Yeah, I don't like those.
I used to love those.
I used to like the chocolate on the outside, and I thought that they were cool looking.
Yeah.
But I don't like marshmallow. Mm. I mean, like, I kind of do. I can really only have, like, one or two marshmallows, like, if it's, like, s'mores.
Yeah.
But I can't have, like, a whole stick of marshmallow.
It's a lot.
Yeah.
I like whatever the fuck TJ Maxx and, like, Marshalls has at the front when you're, like, trying not to look at shit at checkout. But they just have all those, like, good-ass random gourmet candies right
there.
Those
little wafer things are always so good.
Yeah, those hit.
They always have at the front. Okay, I'm going to try one of these.
Ooh, try one. Raina's about to try Kinder Bueno.
Whoa.
Specifically a mini.
Just so everybody knows.
Just so everybody knows.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, and they dropped it immediately onto the floor.
That's covered in cat hair now. It's a good thing I grabbed two. Didn't drop this one this time.
Better right. hold.
We're about to do a little ASMR eating, and then I'm going to do a little review. All right, guys, ready? Ooh.
Right. That was satisfying.
Mm-hmm. That was satisfying in here, too. That's really good.
Right?
Yeah. It's like a Ferrero Rocher.
Yes.
But without the nuts.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so, officially, are we back?
We are back.
Okay.
Welcome back. Hold on, can you stop being a little shit?
Yeah, Popcorn, you're really on some shit right now.
You're getting on my freaking nerves, dude.
Freaking cut it out.
Okay. Anyway, we're back, and we're stoned.
And we're ready to talk about some natural disasters.
Yeah, I'm excited to hear about this.
Yes, which, okay, I get it. I get what you're saying. I hear it now. That's not true crime. No, but the way in which
it's a crime to the people.
Every single thing afterwards happened, totally a crime.
Yeah.
Totally a crime.
It's an injustice. Maybe we should call ourselves an injustice podcast.
Oh, now that's a good one because, you know, we both have that silly little thing called autism
mm-hmm.
that makes us, like, justice freaks.
Yeah.
Nerds that was a for fun justice. Thing to learn.
That was a fun thing to learn.
Yeah. Can you tell we're really fun at parties? So today I'm going to be talking about, oh, and also, disclaimer. One, this story takes place in South Korea. There is a lot of this that I did not know how to pronounce. A lot of it, I'm just going to use people's first names.
Yeah.
To make it easier on me.
Yeah, in my Reddit deep dives and stuff, I find some really insane and crazy cases, but a lot of them happen in, like, Korea or South Korea or China, and I can't pronounce them, so I don't do them because I'm too scared to have to pronounce the names and do it incorrectly because I don't want to do that to them.
I tried to figure some of them out, but anyways, so
we're doing our best, guys.
Just understand I'm doing my best.
Yeah.
Second disclaimer. This involves a ship.
Oh?
And typically, as we know, ships are referred to as she.
Yes.
But I've only ever been disappointed by men.
Yeah.
And since this is a story of disappointment, I have changed all the she's to he's.
Okay. Everybody, so, take note.
Take note.
Everybody, write that down.
It was just a silly little thing that I felt like doing.
Good for you.
Because it felt wrong to keep saying bad things about a woman.
Today's episode is sponsored by powerful and amazing women,
and also not misandry.
Huh?
That's when you hate men.
Oh, I've never heard that term before.
Yeah, it's the opposite of misogyny. Misandry.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, without further ado, today I'm going to be talking about the Seawall Ferry. So, this is somewhat recent. You may remember it. I kind of vaguely recalled this, but didn't really, like, know any of the details. Mm-hmm. It's just that one of my friends is doing her makeup to a YouTube video where the girl was talking about this. And I was like, oh my god, that's insane. I need to also talk about this and tell people. So on April 16th, 2014, the Seawall Ferry going from Incheon, South Korea to Jeju Island sank, leaving 304 of the 476 passengers deceased.
Whoa.
That is like 64% of the passengers.
Whoa.
That's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Many of them were children and teachers from Danwon High School in Seoul.
Oh, no.
Or Seoul? I think it's Seoul. What went wrong, and how did efforts to save the passengers fail so fucking terribly?
Yeah.
So, a little background knowledge. The Seoul was a 20-year-old ship that was purchased in 2012 by this one company, and it then received modifications to, like, make it, you know, better or able to withstand these trips, since it was already 18 years old at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was 18 years old when they bought it, and then two years later is when this accident happened.
Well, is there like a shelf life for boats? Like, how long can boats really
I don't know. It depends on, like, what kind of boat and, like, how far the route is.
I feel like 18 years is kind of old.
Yeah.
It's kind of old for a boat to hold a lot of people on it.
Definitely. So, it had all these modifications to, like, upgrade it that were originally not deemed, like, they didn't pass the certification at first.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Love that.
But then later, it passed all the safety tests.
Mm.
But as a result of these modifications, the cargo limit was reduced. The amount of ballast needed was increased.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I meant to look up what ballast means, and I really didn't. But it's like something that helps balance the boat.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the cargo limit reduction and the ballast increased was not known by the Korean Shipping Association or the Coastal Guard. And I kept reading Korean Coastal Guard, so I think they say coastal instead of coast, like we say. So if you hear me say that, that's why. It also caused the center of gravity to raise and be, like, higher up as opposed to lower down, which obviously you want a lower center of gravity, so it's harder to tip over. So the Korean Register of Shipping gave the Seawall its certifications based on falsified documents.
Sick.
Yep. Sick. And he, as in the boat.
He is in the boat.
went the route from Incheon to Jeju Island and back, which is 264 miles or 13 and a half hours one way.
Oh my God.
It did this, he did this three times a week.
That's like cruise ship hours.
Yeah, it's like a really long ferry.
Yeah.
And this is just like a, the island is just like a popular tourist destination. Uh-huh. Kids were going there on a field trip. And he had done it 241 times until the sinking.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
That's like too, that's too many for my comfort, I think, actually.
Yeah, that is a well-worn ship.
Yeah.
The night of April 15th, he was supposed to depart at 6:30 p.m., but was stalled until 9 p.m. due to fog. He was carrying 2,142 tons of cargo, including 185 cars and 443 passengers and 33 crew members. Okay, so that's how much it was carrying. The maximum capacity for cargo was 987 tons. And they were carrying more than double that.
Oh my God. So they just didn't even give a fuck to try.
No. And to make it worse, the captain reported that they were carrying 657.
Oh, six. So we're just lying altogether now.
Straight up lying.
Yeah.
Also, none of it was properly secured.
Sick.
So that they could make room for more cars.
Oh.
So, remember I said they had 185 cars on board?
Mm-hmm.
They were only supposed to have 97.
Oh my God.
So again, more than double.
Yeah.
Actually, almost triple.
Yeah.
Cars are heavy, people.
Mm-hmm.
And they needed about 1,000 more tons of ballast than what they had on board. The captain that night was Captain Lee, who was, again, that is his first name.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm definitely saying Lee right.
Okay.
So.
Cool.
I'm sorry to people who like proper grammar and things being the way that they're supposed to be, but I just don't give a fuck.
Period.
Period. So he was 69 years old. Haha, nice. And he was an experienced captain. He had about 40 years of experience, and he had traveled that route before. He had a one-year contract replacing the usual captain of that route, Captain Shin, who had warned about issues with the seawall regarding stability and steering, and they'd basically like threatened to fire him if he didn't stop making making waves.
Cool, cool, cool.
No pun intended.
They're handling this great.
Yep. What about the safety training, you ask? Mm-hmm. Well, the company that owned the seawall only spent about $2 on safety training for their crew.
That's awesome.
Which was the amount of money it took to print out a false paper certificate. So you've got a ship that's way overloaded.
Mm-hmm.
Its center of gravity is raised. Nothing's properly secured. The crew have absolutely no safety training.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They're like, no, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Don't even worry about it. It's fine. It's fine. Yeah, no, I got this. I could manage it. It's fine.
Mm-hmm. So left at 9 p.m. at around 8:20 a.m. in the morning. At around 8:20 a.m. in the morning, Third Mate Park ordered Helmsman Cho to take off auto steering and turn it to manual prior to entering the Mangdal Channel.
Why?
The Mangdal Channel had very strong currents. It is a well-used route to get there. However, there are other routes that would have added I don't know who the YouTuber was, or else I would say her name. But she said going another route would have added about 7 hours, which is a lot.
Yeah.
But would have been a much safer route. So
time is money.
Time is money, exactly. So at 8:46 a.m., Park told Cho to change course from 135 to 140 degrees and then 2 minutes later to 145. So it's only supposed to do 5 degrees at yeah. once. The seawall began to list to the right, so it started to lean. And so Cho made a sharp turn to the left, resulting in a change of course of 15 degrees.
Oh, my God.
So he turned the wheel way too quickly in the other direction
yeah.
to try to correct this. But all that unsecured cargo slammed into the left side of the ship, further causing it to list and take on water.
Sick.
So at this point, he is fully leaning to the left, and it's starting to have water filling up.
Mm-hmm.
By 8:50 a.m., Seawall was listing 30 degrees to the left. Captain Lee and the other mates and helmsmen rushed to the bridge, and Cho cut the engines, which caused Seawall to drift sideways.
Ugh.
Passengers reported that at this time, the lights started to go out.
Oh.
Communications Officer Kang, who had not consulted the manual, made a broadcast at 8:52 a.m. for everyone to remain where they were as moving was dangerous. And then other crew members are repeating this to passengers. So he hasn't read the safety manual at all.
Yeah.
And he's telling everyone to just stay where they are. Oh, stay in their cabins. A student named Choi was the first to report that the ship was capsizing. So he called their equivalent of 911,
mm-hmm.
got transferred to the Coast Guard. And the Coast Guard deployed the first patrol vessel at 8:58 a.m. There were other ships that were closer that came to assist, but the Seawall crew stated at 9:14 a.m. that they couldn't evacuate due to the angle of the heel.
Ugh.
So basically, because of how it was tilted, they couldn't get out of it.
Yeah. Whoa.
At 9:23 a.m., so one of the bigger ships that was close by was basically, on the radio trying to walk them through it.
Mm-hmm.
And offer assistance. And so at 9:23 a.m., this other ship was ordering them to tell passengers to put on life vests, but the crew members claimed that the broadcast system wasn't working. It was working. They were telling people to stay in their rooms. I think partly this is because they don't have...
life vests?
They have life vests, but not enough.
Oh.
Because, again, this ship has way too many... cargo.
Yeah.
I think it also has too many passengers and not enough life vests. At nine, so that other ship was like, okay, we'll just go around and tell people that then.
Yeah.
Obviously they were not.
Ugh.
At 9:25, Captain Lee was asked whether or not they would evacuate. Come on, man, what are we gonna do? And he said he didn't have enough information to make the call.
What?
I mean, what other information do you need? Yeah. The boat's sinking.
Yeah.
Patrol boats were close by, and there was a helicopter. Lee said that there were too many people for the helicopter and continued to tell everyone to remain where they were in their rooms.
Oh. So this guy's just kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah. He's also one of the first people to be rescued.
Wow.
By changing into civilian clothing.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. At 9:33 a.m., lifeboats were dropped from for the passengers from the surrounding other ships. And at 9:40, 150 to 160 passengers and crew jumped overboard.
My God.
A lot of them survived.
That's good.
Yeah. But those were the ones that were, of course, up at the top.
Yeah.
Not in their rooms. Everybody else that was doing what they were told and stuck in their rooms couldn't get out.
Ugh.
Captain Lee was one of the first to be rescued at 9:46 along with Cho and the first and second mate. During this time, trapped children were making calls and sending text messages to their loved ones.
Oh my God.
holding each other.
My God.
The last communications went out at 10:17 a.m. The seawall was completely underwater by 1:03 p.m.
Whoa.
I would like to add that the first student to announce or to call for help did not make it.
Oh my God.
Most of these students were about 16 years old.
Jesus.
At 11 a.m., news networks were reporting that all passengers were rescued.
Hmm.
And all the parents at the school received messages that all students had been rescued.
So everybody's just kind of a piece of shit.
Yeah, they basically were trying to cover their asses for that failed rescue attempt. And it's really bizarre because, like, it's like the rescuers didn't even try.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many different entities. The U.S. Navy offered assistance. The Japanese Coast Guard offered assistance. And South Korea was like, we got this. We've got it handled. And then nobody did anything.
What the fuck?
Over the next few days, civilian divers would volunteer to help recover bodies. Many of the bodies were missing.
Ugh.
22 of the 29 crew members survived.
Oh. That's too many for my liking, to be quite honest.
Yeah, agreed. There was really, like, three notable crew members that continued what they were doing, gave up life vests so that children could have them.
Yeah.
There was one who had called her boyfriend, her mother and her boyfriend to say, I love you. Oh. And then her boyfriend was like, no, don't hang up the phone. And she was like, no, there are kids who haven't gotten to say, to call their parents. And my phone's going to lose battery. I need to save it for them.
Oh.
So there were crew members that did good.
Yeah.
But it was not very many of them. On April 18th, 2014, the vice principal who arranged the field trip ended up committing suicide and wrote in a 2-page note that he couldn't live with the guilt of being rescued. He was also on the ship and was rescued. And he requested that his ashes be scattered by where the ship had gone down so that he could be a teacher in heaven for the kids whose bodies hadn't been found. Yeah. Super, super heartbreaking.
Oh my God.
I mean, I can't imagine what that... That poor man,
he didn't do anything.
I know. I mean, all he did was try to set up a fun field trip for the students, and so awful.
God.
On April 19th, Captain Lee was arrested for negligence of duty, violation of maritime law, which is that the captain goes down with the ship.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, until everybody else is off.
Yeah.
And, some other counts, as well as, a lot of other crew members and all of the navigation crew. So that's the helmsman versus second mate. On May 15th of 2014, Captain Lee, Park, and the first and second mate were indicted on charges of homicide through gross negligence. Which I think gross negligence is like a fucking understatement of the year.
Like, for sure.
They chose to make those decisions based on money and not on people's lives.
Gross.
Yeah. On November 11th of that year, Lee was sentenced to 36 years in prison and Park was sentenced to 30. And then a lot of the other crew members got like lesser sentences. Mm-hmm. And then in 2015, so a year later, Lee's sentence was changed to life and Park's was reduced to 10 years.
Hmm.
So basically, they kind of like thought about it again and were like, well, Lee is the one who's making all the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
The other crew members have to defer to his decisions.
Yeah.
So basically, they put more of the blame and the responsibility onto Lee and less onto the other crew members.
I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah. And this was like a huge national outrage, national embarrassment. was super, super traumatic and sad for all these parents.
Oh my God, yeah.
Especially those that, you know, got the message that their children were safe.
Yeah.
Only to find out, yeah, that everyone had lied to them. There's crazy investigation afterwards trying to figure everything out. And it really started a lot of political movement in South Korea, particularly among young people, and kind of questioning authority, which is not consistent with culturally, historically, how things have gone in South Korea. But this younger generation is kind of really starting to get involved in politics.
Yay.
Yeah, right on.
Good.
After this event. I mean, I can imagine what it would feel like even for the survivors, just to have, like, gone through that.
Yeah.
And the frustrating part is so many people would have been saved if they had been told to get to the top of the ship and jump to safety.
Yeah. Or even if, like, maybe the captain just, like, listened to the first warning about the safety stuff.
Right.
Like, just, like, did his job right.
Exactly, because then the ship wouldn't have capsized at all.
Yeah. He could have kept running that ship for years.
Yeah.
God, that's insane.
I know. Yeah, when I heard that, I was like, I have to talk about that. Because just, I mean, hearing all of that, it's like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
Yeah. That's crazy. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be on the crew, because it's like, especially if he hired people who were just kind of like inexperienced at the job, so they didn't really know any better. And he was just like, yeah, no, we don't need to do that.
Right.
And they're like, oh, well, okay, yeah, all right. I guess you know better than me.
I mean, it's like, what did they expect to happen?
Yeah.
I mean, people died because they couldn't break through the windows in those cabins. Jeez. Like, the boat was taking on water.
Yeah.
I mean,
man.
Yeah, you'd think that'd be common sense.
Yeah, you would think. That seems to be lacking quite a bit.
Disaster.
Well, geez Louise.
I know, that one was a bummer.
Yeah,
that yours one... was really cool.
Well, you know, we gotta balance it out.
Exactly, yin yang.
Yeah, yeah, we like uplift you and then we smack you down. I don't know if I like that. Well, it's fine.
We'll mellow you back out with some tarot.
Yes, we will, and then you can mellow yourself out a little. Maybe with, like, a little schmuck.
Yeah.
Just, you've earned yourself a little bowl.
So you've made it yourself. This far.
Yeah, treat yourself to it.
Have a little puff.
Or two.
Ooh, spicy. Yeah,
she's a little brat. All right, let me grab some tarot.
The cards. Sorry. Are we reading this for the audience?
Yeah, let's go for a collective.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's go for the collective. I'm not feeling anything personally, but also if we end up reading it and it pertains to one of us, then... So, the first card we pulled is the Knight of Wands.
Ooh, okay. So, wands are the action suit. Was it upright?
Yes.
Okay, the keywords are energy, passion, inspired action, adventure, impulsiveness.
Ooh.
Yeah. The Knight of Wands shows the pursuit of ideas. When this card appears in a tarot reading, you are charged up with energy, passion, motivation, and enthusiasm, and you channel that energy through your inspired action. You have a clear vision about what you want to create, and fueled by your passion and inspiration, you are now moving forward with leaps and bounds. Turn your vision into reality. This card is your sign to go for it.
Nice.
Very nice.
Hell yeah.
Oh, you know what? I don't know when it is, but I do know that like all the planets are coming out of retrograde.
Yay.
On the Virgo new moon.
Thank fucking God.
Yeah.
Let me see. I think the new moon is on my birthday.
Is it?
I think so.
It is. I think it's at like the night before, but like also into your birthday.
Awesome. So there you go, guys. September 14th, 15th. 15th is my birthday, and there's Yay. Your new moon energy. So if there's anything that you've been inspired to feel like you need to do lately, fucking do it.
Fucking go do it.
All right, next card we pulled was the Ace of Wands upside down.
Okay. Reverse, keywords, an emerging idea, lack of direction, distractions, delays.
Ooh. So whatever your big plan is, you might have some stalling.
Yeah, you might have some footwork to put in ahead of time. Mm-hmm. The Ace of Wands reverse suggests that you can sense an idea emerging from within, but are uncertain what form it will take or how you will manifest it into the world. You may have energy and passion in spades, but you do not yet have a clear outlet to express them. You may be waiting for something else to happen before you pursue this idea, or you may prefer to keep your idea private until your confidence kicks in. All of these wonderful ideas are bubbling up, but now you must find a way to harness this creative energy to set you up in the long term.
Yeah, those go pretty hand in hand. It's telling you, like, whatever it is that you're trying to do, like, go for it, but also
you gotta think about it first. Yeah,
you can't just be blind into it. You gotta put some thought into it for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
All right. I didn't show you what they look like. So it's the first one.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they're really cool. I think I got these off Etsy a long time ago.
They're like holographic.
Yeah.
Huh. But like the traditional what is it?
I don't know.
I do know, but not at this moment.
That's okay. So the next one we pulled is Ten of Swords upright.
Ten of Swords. Ten is the number of completion. So it's about things coming to like a head.
Nice. Yeah. Love head.
Yeah, we all love head. Ooh.
I remember, hold on, side little rant, because we're all besties. Mm-hmm. I remember one time one of my exes got really mad because my family was playing a little game, and one of the questions was, would you rather give up head for the rest of your life or cheese? And I said head. And everybody was like, huh? And my ex got really offended. And she was like, what, do you, like, not think I'm good at it? Like, that fucking hurt my feelings, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, no, I was just saying in a hypothetical situation, I would not give up cheese for the rest of my life for anything. Like,
that's so valid. Grow up.
Anyway.
Head's fine and all, but cheese?
Cheese? Have you had feta?
Brie?
You think I'm
ever
gonna
heard of her?
You think I'm going to give that up? I might be lactose intolerant, but that don't stop me. So lactose? What makes you think I would...
In toddler ants? No, ma'am.
You're telling me an ant is a toddler?
Anyways. The keywords for the Ten of Swords, you said upright?
Yes.
Painful endings, deep wounds, betrayal, loss, and crisis.
Uh-oh, yikes. Your new project might be coming with an ending.
When the Ten of Swords appears in a tarot reading, you may be the victim of another person's betrayal or deceit. You feel as if you've been stabbed in the back and are reeling from someone else's actions. Your partner may have cheated on you, a colleague may spread nasty rumors about you, or a family member has betrayed your trust. The pain inflicted runs deep, not because of what they've done is hurtful, because you know deep down this marks the end of your relationship as you know it with them. Along with feeling the pain, you may grieve the loss of the relationships.
Ooh, I'm feeling that one a little. Okay, so
this
next
is kind of all over the place. Yeah. I need the next two cards for context.
Next is Temperance, upright.
Temperance, okay. Okay, we got a major arcana in there. Keywords, balance, moderation, patience, purpose. All good things. The This card calls on you to remain calm even when life feels stressful or frantic. Hmm. Maintain an even temperament and manage your emotions. You've learned to keep composed in stressful situations. Little things don't get to you thanks to your seemingly abundant source of patience. Your respect for balance and tranquility is what will help you achieve and experience fulfillment in your life.
That one could not be for me. I do not have patience.
So there's some fuck shit going on, but you gotta maintain a level head about it.
And you got this.
Keep your cool so that you can finish your project.
Yeah. The last one is the Magician.
The Magician. That's fun.
We all love a little magic.
I don't know why. That just makes me think of, did you watch Arrested Development?
I watched a little bit of it.
Did you see the uncle that was a magician? Mm-hmm. I think that was Will Arnett. It's so funny. All right. Our keywords: manifestation, resourcefulness, power, inspired action. Bringing nice. It back around yeah. to the action. As a master manifester, the magician, say that three times fast.
Master manifester magician.
brings you the tools, resources, and energy you need to make your dreams come true. Seriously, everything you need right now is at your fingertips. You have the spiritual, physical, mental, and emotional resources to manifest your desires.
Hell yeah.
And when you combine them with the energy of the spiritual and earthly realms, you will become a manifestation powerhouse. The key is to bring these tools together synergistically so that the impact of what you can create is greater than the separate parts.
Nice.
Yeah.
So even after all the craziness that happens, you're going to come through and you're going to continue to manifest some great things for yourself.
Yeah. If you just like keep calm.
Mm-hmm.
Carry on. Have a plan. Everything will fucking go all right. And you'll yeah. be able to manifest all the shit of your dreams.
Hell yeah. You got this.
Yeah. Also, new moon water.
Ooh. Yeah. I gotta do that.
I saw somebody on TikTok freeze it into ice cubes and put it into their bong.
Ooh.
Super cool.
So, next week, our episode, we're gonna have some moon bong enhancement.
As we should.
As we should. We deserve it.
Yeah. I love involving the two yeah, together.
Of course. I don't know how I feel about the new moon being on my birthday. I'm kind of nervous.
You know, it's about new beginnings.
Yeah, but I'm like nervous for what that means. It's my birthday. What does that mean?
It is a beautiful start to a beautiful new year. You are going to be 25.
Ow.
Welcome to your mid-20s.
Thanks.
You're welcome. You survived the first half of the 20s.
God, barely. But honestly, barely.
And you're here. And you're about to manifest some shit.
We made it.
Woohoo.
Woohoo.
For the end of the episode, do you want to hear the dirty joke that the dirty old man told God. Me today?
Sure.
Okay, so context. Earlier today, a very strange old man looked at me directly and said, "You're gonna like this, little lady," and then proceeds to tell me a very crude joke going something like this, from what I recall. He says, "So there's a priest doing confession."
Oh.
And in walks a lady who tells him, who confesses her sins and tells him the most lurid tale. And she continues to tell him this over the next few weeks. And he just has to know what she looks like. So he says, "Part of your repentance will be to come to Mass and sit in the front row." And so the next week, blonde woman in short skirt with no underwear comes and sits in the front row and spreads her legs. And the priest is too uncomfortable to say anything. And so she keeps coming back the next couple weeks Oh, and she's got green patent leather shoes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And so, after a few times of her being there, the priest says to the altar boy, "Do you think the shoes match the drapes?"
What does that even mean? Or, like,
basically, do you think her pubes are green? And the altar boy says either that or it's the reflection off her noogie.
Ew.
One, not funny. Two, ew?
Yeah.
Three, why did he look at me and say, "You're gonna like this"?
Yeah.
What part of that did he think I was going to like?
Men really just keep having the audacity to speak.
I mean...
Yeah, I would have out of there too.
Disgusting.
That's so gross.
Sir,
hey, men, just like don't. Just like don't say stuff like that.
Any time that you think, hey, maybe I should tell this woman something.
Don't.
Just don't.
Just don't.
It's not necessary.
It's not.
Yeah. That's been a PSA.
My God, gross.
I know.
Ewy.
The look that every other person in that room gave each other.
Yeah.
As he told that story.
Jesus. All right. Well.
Ow. Anyways.
We're gonna let y'all marinate on that until next week. Yeah. So. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry to ruin your day, but if I had to hear that, you did too.
That's what besties are for.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, you can email us at greenwichcottagepod@gmail.com. If you want to check out our Instagram, see some behind-the-scenes pictures, see some little infographics of our episodes, all that kind
see
of fun
pictures
stuff.
Pictures of me and Raina when we were seen.
Oh yeah, I still have to post that. Go ahead and follow us on Instagram at GWC Podcast, and that's really all we have right now. So If you like us, be sure to share us with everybody you know and love and talk to, and
stay tuned for our next two episodes.
Stay tuned for our next two episodes and stick around for our little Halloween specialty.
Woo-hoo-hoo. Our favorite time of the year.
Yay. All right. Well, love you.
Light up.
And look out.
We love you.
Bye.